Welcome to Career Conversations. My name is Siobhan Murphy, a careers consultant here in DCU Careers Service. Today, our focus is on the Washington Ireland programme, and joining me to discuss this is Caoimhe Ní Bhealagán, who is community manager for the Washington Ireland programme. And in reviewing this topic, you know, in preparation for today's podcast, one of the very interesting, I suppose, mission statements on the Washington Ireland programme that really caught my attention was, if the future were a book, would you read it or would you, or write it? So we're really going to get underneath that whole mission statement with Caoimhe today and find out what is the Washington Ireland programme all about. So you're very welcome, Caoimhe.
Thanks so much for having me today, Siobhan.
And just before I forget, because we were talking before we started to record, and Caoimhe actually is a DCU alumnus and studied economics, politics and law here in DCU and actually participated in the Washington Ireland programme herself. So you really have the 360 on this totally at this stage, Caoimhe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is very fascinating. And the first time I ever came across the Washington Ireland programme was by two former alumni. One was Noel Rock, who was a past TD who studied economics, politics and law as well, along with Fiona McCarrick, who studied EPL too. So there's two other alumni I was aware of who completed the same course as myself and completed the Washington Ireland programme too. So it's a very 360 experience speak with you today about it, and I'm delighted I can.
Brilliant. So maybe walk us through it. What is the Washington Ireland programme? What was it, why was it started? What's it all about?
Perfect. So the Washington Ireland programme is an organisation that works with emerging leaders from across the island of Ireland. It was originally set up in 1995 as part of a Project Children initiative to bring young leaders from Northern Ireland abroad to Washington, D.C. It was during the time of the Troubles and just towards the beginning of the Good Friday Agreement. And as many people are aware of the context up there, it's extremely divided communities. And the initial goal of the organisation was to bring both communities over to DC to a neutral ground where they'd be able to develop leadership abilities. So when that they came back to Northern Ireland, that they'd be able to work together and cooperate on future projects. So a large amount of our alumni have gone on to do weird, wild and wonderful things, and a lot of them have gone into political careers. So one of our most notable alumni is Leo Varadkar, who's the current Taoiseach and former Taoiseach, and he was part of the first group who went on the programme from the Republic of Ireland. Up until 2000, it was just students from Northern Ireland, and in 2000, they let the first group of people from the Republic go. Since then, our work has completely expanded, and we now have over 730 alumni who've taken part in the programme to date, all in a wide variety of sectors, who've come from extremely different backgrounds and have gone on to pursue and become active members in their own communities.
That's fantastic. So that's kind of the historical perspective. And one of the things that we had been talking about was that it has been long running for a number of years now. And I suppose it's developed over this period of time and has got refined, and nothing like the refinement that COVID has brought to the equation. So we might actually have a chat about what the Washington Ireland programme will look like for the summer of 2021 and how will it roll out.
Perfect. So as like every sector across the island, when I look back to January last year, we had initially planned to go over to the States as our programme normally would have taken part. But as a result of COVID, we had to completely readapt what our programme looked like and go back to the drawing board, reflect on what our core values and the core mission of our programme is to bring students and young leaders together to have challenging conversations, to develop the future leaders of tomorrow, and to continue to have dialogues around what the future of our island would look like. So one of the core elements of our programme and one of the biggest things that draws many students into it is the exclusive work placements that we offer as part of our programme. And that was something that we were able to do in a remote capacity. So all of the core activities that would normally take place on the programme, such as our leadership development programme, our speaker series, our debates and discussions, our professional skills workshops and WIP papers, all took place throughout our summer in 2020. We learned a lot through the experience and we achieved so much more than we had initially thought was possible during the programme. This year, we once again want to run a hybrid programme, and with the current situation with the COVID pandemic, it's enabled us to kind of look at the opportunities that that gives us. We're now able to bring more people along on our journey and invest in more emerging leaders due to the hybrid nature of it. So normally we would only take 33 to 35 students abroad, but with no plane costs and no visa requirements, we're now able to expand and scale our programme to include more young leaders and also allow for the first time ever part-time students to take part on the programme. So those are people who may be completing a part-time master's, people completing BTAC courses, level 6, level 7, level 5, whatever it may be. And that's a brilliant opportunity for us to allow those people to take part in the experience. You know, we wish we could invest in so many emerging leaders, but oftentimes there's issues around logistics. For instance, if it wasn't down to the scholarship opportunities that WIP had, I myself wouldn't have been able to justify leaving my part-time job during the summer and going over to the States. But due to the hybrid nature now, we can offer it to people who may have caring responsibilities, people who may be parents and have children as well who are in the process of completing their studies, but also want to explore other opportunities that WIP may offer them. So I'm really delighted the fact that we're going to be able to expand the programme and offer it a more inclusive access to it than in previous years. So with every kind of, there's a silver lining in everything. And this year, I'm really excited about the opportunities and the even more diverse group that we're going to get as a result.
Yeah, I hear what you're saying and I hear about the inclusivity there. Because I'm even just thinking, you know, rightly what you said there, Caoimhe, around the master's students, but also around mature students that have taken the plunge to come back to college and, you know, often would have, you know, be often what's referred as the sandwich generation, looking after children and elderly parents. So to get an opportunity to express their ambitions, and often people like this are actually leaders in their own community areas, and this would be right up their street. So I'm hoping you'll get a lot of applications from that, you know, from, you know, that it's so democratic, the inclusivity of it all. One of the things that we know, that there was a previous structure, now you're going into a different structure this summer. So what will, you know, what will this hybrid programme look like? You know, can you maybe bring us through the look and feel of it?
Yeah, perfect. So the hybrid programme will fully start off in April, and that's once our application process is finished. And the students will have the opportunity, government guidelines permitting, to meet up together and get a real feel for one another. One of the initial downsides of the 2020 programme was, due to the restrictions, we weren't allowed to convene the whole group together, and we hope that this year we will be able to do so. You know, having challenging conversations is difficult anyway, but to do that in a digital manner is even more challenging, and the hybrid events will allow students to come together and be able to debate in person, be able to gauge the atmosphere in the room. And that's something that you can't necessarily do via Zoom. You know, when we're very conscious that when people click off, we're not there beside them to make sure they're okay, or, you know, something could have been said. And when you're dealing with a lot of people from very different backgrounds, it's something to be very conscious of. So we've incorporated four of these in-person events throughout the few months to allow people to do it. So they'll be taking place in April, twice during June and July, and their graduation will be in September, at the start of September. So once people have met each other, the core program itself will take place over 8 weeks, from the 7th of June to the 30th of July. And during this time, students will work from Monday to Friday in a group on work placement projects. So they'll be given a task by some of these exclusive work placement providers that we've worked with over the past number of years. So some of these would include the Holocaust Memorial Museum, the US Embassy, the Irish Embassy in DC, the Northern Ireland Bureau, Shared Future News, the Northern Ireland Human Rights Commission, and a number of other institutions in between there. They'll be tasked with developing solutions to some of the challenges the organisation are facing, and will work on that throughout the 8 weeks. In the evening time, three times a week, they'll have speaker sessions with a wide variety of speakers across a number of different industries, and hear about their journey and, you know, how, like, their story, from not only just about, you know, what career they're in, what they've done to date, but also about what were they like when they initially started on their journey? What advice would they give to someone starting out? And what were the core things they learned? When were times they failed and really thought, oh my gosh, am I going to make it? And it gives students a really exclusive access and insight to these very high-powered CEOs, and the trust and relationship we've developed with these people over the years allows a much more candid conversation than many people would get. A lot of our speakers are based in the US, so in DC, New York, and due to the nature of the Zoom, we were able to get many more speakers than we normally would have had on the programs that usually would take place in DC. So that's a fantastic opportunity as well. We also have our discussions and debates too. And in addition to that, our professional skills workshops and our WIP papers, as I mentioned earlier, our group work, and allow the students to develop and design innovative solutions to the challenges facing our island. So there's a lot that the students are going to be exposed to. There's a lot of self-development, allowing the students to work with alumni mentors and also with our management team on setting out what their goals, hopes and ambitions are, and giving them the space to really reflect on their experiences and reflect on the work they've done to date, and to try and give them a direction of what way they'd like to pursue potentially their career in later life, or it could be their own personal journey and challenges that they may want to overcome, and we'll work with them to help them achieve that over those 8 weeks.
So who should apply?
The answer that jumps to my mind is anyone. I think there's kind of four kind of key criteria what we look for people. And fundamentally, we look for people with leadership potential. And leadership potential does not necessarily mean that you're in charge of running your local GA club, or you're in charge of a club or society. Leadership, in our view, takes many, many different forms. And it could be, like, as you mentioned, someone who is a mature student who also has family responsibilities, both for potentially their children or for older relatives. And we take people from a wide variety of backgrounds who may have demonstrated leadership potential in a number of different ways. We also look for people who've a commitment to service. So, you know, students who are involved in a lot of potentially volunteer work, or give up their time to help others. This doesn't necessarily need to be in a very formal setting that they're involved in soup runs or homeless sleepouts or something like that. It could be, you know, giving grinds to someone who's in your college course with you, or, you know, giving yourself like a family member an hour of your time once a week to help them out. So once again, all of these things are very much open to interpretation, and initially it's all very much self-selecting. We look for people as well who are interested in dealing with difference. The nature of the program, and fundamentally it's bringing different perspectives together. And we want people who are interested in understanding where people come from, understanding the diverse viewpoints that are that they are not necessarily exposed to in their day-to-day life. You know, the internet's a great place, but oftentimes we're in our own echo chamber and aren't necessarily exposing ourselves to the different political perspectives or worldviews. So we want to build kind of mutually supportive relationships, so that in time that they'll be able to learn to work together. And I think this is a really great quality that goes across life in general. You know, when you go into your working life, you're going to be working with people you may not necessarily agree with, but you have to understand where they're coming from and work together to try to get the best outcome possible. And another thing we look for is, you know, people who've demonstrated maturity in some sense. It's a very challenging experience. You know, you're thrown into an environment where there's a lot of self-reflection, you know, a lot of responsibility left on your shoulders to work for quite a high-profile organizations. And we want people who are would take the programme seriously and are respectful of the time that the organisation is giving to them and also the time that their other class members are providing too. So that they're kind of the key qualities we look for someone. And the main thing we look for is someone who's passionate about something. It doesn't matter what it is, as long as you have a passion and you want to discuss it and explore it more. We want to invest with people with passion and who are driven around change. So it's a very broad criteria. One of the best things about it is, unlike a lot of other internships or graduate programs, we don't necessarily look at your grades. We don't take into account any academic performance to date. So you don't need to be the top of your class. You don't need to be in a 2-1 first bracket. That's not necessarily taken into consideration at all. So our biggest thing is you need to self-select yourself. And the person who isn't going to get on the program is the person who decides, I'm not good enough for this. So you yourself need to push yourself to apply for our program.
Brilliant. And I suppose what I'm hearing as well is that it's not just that you'd have a core interest, say even your own background in economics, politics and law. Like, you could be an engineer who, you know, is very interested in solving real world problems, you know, maybe some humanitarian issues, you know, water in Africa. It doesn't make a difference, not that you even need any of that, but you know, you may just have broader societal and global you know, interests. If that makes sense, yeah. You might be working, you know, being a student in IT, business, you could be a student nurse, you could be a student teacher. Like, this is open to everybody, mm-hmm. You know.
Yeah, I think that's one of the best things about the program. One of the big misconceptions is you have to be a law student or a politics student to apply. And over the past few years, we've really broken the mold and it's open to any student across any different background to apply. We've had teachers, scientists, doctors, engineers, people in liberal arts, media studies. It is open to anyone. It doesn't matter what your discipline is. And like that, if you have a passion about anything, we really want to hear from you. And in some ways, the more diverse your background is, the more diverse your college courses, the more we want to hear from you and to understand how you want to make an impact on the world. So that's one of the best things about the program, is how diverse the group of people are and the level of interest and engaging conversations we're able to have as a result of that, and bringing these people from very different backgrounds into a room together and having kind of blue sky thinking workshop to develop innovative solutions around that.
Can I just check with you, Caoimhe, just when you talk about everybody, I'm just checking in around citizenship. You know, is Irish citizenship a criteria?
So one of
or
the
EU or whatever, you know, whatever the right thing to say there.
Yeah. So our eligibility criteria is really like you have to be, you can be a citizen of Ireland or Northern Ireland, or you can just consider the island of Ireland your home. So you do not necessarily need to be an Irish citizen. We've had a number of people who've come from some countries in Africa, from countries in Eastern Europe, from China, who participated on our program before. And they themselves have either maybe moved over to Ireland when they were younger with their parents, or who've come to study in Ireland or Northern Ireland and now wish to stay in either of those two countries and make Ireland their home. So it wouldn't be necessarily open to someone who is over for a semester studying or who is only in Ireland for the length of time of their course. You know, it is open to people who may come from a wide variety of backgrounds and who may have moved over to Ireland a number of years ago. But if you like that you're only in DCU or any other university or IT for, you know, 6 months to a year, and this isn't the program for you. You know, we're investing in leaders on the island, but where you originated from isn't necessarily taken into account.
That's fantastic.
As long as you can Yeah, which is great.
Yeah, it's brilliant because we have so many people that, you know, Ireland wasn't their country of birth, but they're as Irish as anybody else is. Do you know what I mean? That was born here. So I just want to move on there too. So I suppose I'm just picking up on what you're telling me. So basically it is still Monday to Friday. There is, some evening sessions. So that's kind of the commitment as well. You know, your weekends are free. So if you want to hold down a job and different things like that, that's still a possibility. You're not required to travel. You will obviously need good broadband and things like that, or access to, you know, because you will be working online and things like that. So there's just those kind of basic criteria, I suppose, from that point of view. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the level of commitment we ask from each student is that they'll be able to complete 20 hours a week. And I think that's one of the best things about the programme is the fact that it'll enable students to hold down a part-time job if needs be, which is fantastic, to be honest. There is that level of flexibility in it. Another kind of core thing is we do want students to be able to participate in the in-person events. So if you know yourself, you've already decided, I don't necessarily think so this year, but if someone had booked a summer holiday for a particular date, you know, they wouldn't be eligible to take part. We don't want to take away places from people who are fully committed against someone who may decide, oh, I'm actually going to go on holidays for 2 weeks at this point.
This is not an a la carte program. This is sign up and get on with it.
Yeah. But, you know, the students, there's a huge level of work that goes on behind the scenes for the programme, and the students have so much access to not only the staff ourselves, but to our alumni network, who really work very hard with the students in terms of connecting them in with their networks. And it's a really great experience for someone who's looking at, you know, potentially either if they're in their final year of college or going into intra in third year, that they'll be able to really get an insight into what particular sectors they want to explore, hear from people in the industry, and get connected to organisations and people within roles that they may want to pursue at a later point. So the exposure the students have is really phenomenal, and the amount of time that's invested in each person is much more than they would have previously gotten over in the US. You know, people are very conscious that it's a very challenging time to do programs like this online and in a hybrid form. So, you know, there's much, much more support coming to students now than ever before.
Brilliant. We might just have a chat about yourself, Caoimhe, because as we were saying in the opening segment, that you did study economics, politics and law in DCU. Mm-hmm. And you're both an alumnus of DCU, but you're alumnus of the Washington Ireland programme. So can you talk me through maybe your time in DCU and explain those early seeds of engagement for you? What was going on for you that you kind of said, oh, I think I'll give that a lash. I'll show in an application here. You know, can you talk us a little bit about what was going on in your life at the time?
Yeah. Perfect. So I myself am only a stone's throws away from DCU. I've grown up in Glasshouse and Ballymun since I was a child. So DCU was something I was always aware of.
It's your playground, was it?
Yeah, it was very, very near. So it's funny when I walk, it's actually a closer walk to DCU than to my secondary school or primary school, which is funny to think of. But when I initially went into DCU, I wanted to make sure that I expose myself to as many opportunities as possible, and to make friends from people from the country. You know, it's very easy if you're from Dublin and going to college in Dublin to just stick with the people you know. So I attended an AGM for the Raising and Giving Society, and one of the great things that DCU really does very, very well is the clubs and societies and the first year rep positions. So it allows a first year to run for any position on a college society. And luckily enough, I got elected as the first year rep for the Raising Giving Society. So it allowed me to do a lot of community work in my own community and also with students who I'd never previously met before. So I quickly became the following year the chairperson of the society in my second year, And as a result, became involved in many other different clubs and societies, such as Cumann Gaeilge and the Society Life Committee in DCU too. I ran for DCU SU for the Humanities and Social Sciences faculty rep, which is a really great opportunity to find out about the inner workings of the college itself from an academic point of view too. Once I had gotten elected to that, I'd heard about the Washington Ireland programme when I was in DCU and growing up. And I just thought, this is the right time for me to go for it. Hopefully, I in my mind calculated I had another year left to go. And if I didn't get selected, that I'd throw my hat into the ring another time. So I applied for the programme. And one thing I was very worried about was, you know, going up against people from the likes of Trinity College or UCD or Queen's University Belfast. I'd never, I hadn't really known much about Northern Ireland or the context of how people up there grew up. And it was only through the programme I really got exposed to so much more about Northern Ireland and have so many good friends from there as a result of the programme too. DCU really gave me a great platform to be able to get onto the programme, but the support a lot of the staff gave me before I went over, and alumni who'd already taken part on the programme before from DCU was great to have before I went. I interned in the American Chemistry Council while I was over there, which is a very powerful Republican lobby group. So I learned so much from a very small team of economists there and realised that even though you may be on a small team, the power of one department has in an organisation can really be staggering. I worked a stone's throw away from Capitol Hill, so it was interesting seeing the events that took place last week and how close to home it felt. I lived with an American host family while I was there too, who I still keep in contact with now, and my host father, Eric Huey, is currently a board member on the programme as well. One of my, the housemate Olivia I lived with is one of my best friends to date, and she is living up in Belfast at the moment. So really the programme has helped me so much. When I finished my studies in DCU, I worked for a bank, a corporate bank, for a number of months, and I thought, this is it, I'm going to really enjoy my experience, and quickly realised that for me, I needed to work in an organisation that provided value and had an impact, and where I met diverse group of people. And I didn't really realise until I'd left the programme how important that was for me. So I took an entry role with the programme back in 2008, doing recruitment and events, and quickly became more immersed in the team, and I'm now the community manager for the programme. So I've redeveloped and redesigned a number of the programmes, particularly in 2020. But I'm delighted to be a part of it. And I always am fascinated by the people we meet and the people I get to work with, and particularly the students on the Young Leaders programme. I always get amazed and inspired by not only the participants and not only the speakers, but also the participants and the backgrounds they come from and how much they themselves have done. You're always inspired talking and meeting with these people. So, you know, some people say that they learn a lot from me, but I learn so much more from them each year we get to do it with them. So that's really my journey to WIP, and I've been enjoying it so far.
That's and it's fantastic. Been great,
and I'm really looking forward to this year too.
Yeah, that's a real kind of, I suppose, a testament how, you know, how a summer shaped your life, you know. I mean, obviously you had all the pre-work done. You couldn't have got onto the programme with all the work. You know what I mean? You provided a lot of evidence to whoever was providing the places in that year, you know, through your work in DCU. And I suppose you just went after it and you didn't say no to yourself. You know, I think that's the most important thing in life. Don't say no. There's plenty that's going to say no to you. You don't say no to yourself. It's a hard golden rule to follow at times, but it is important. Just getting back maybe to the current applicants, it's open up now. What's the deadline date and what's the process then, you know, for selection and so on and so forth?
Yeah, perfect. So our application deadline is the 24th of January. So it is in some way fast approaching. Due to the nature of the program this year, we wanted to make it more inclusive as possible. And by doing so, we created a document that allows students to download the application questions. Here they're able to do the application questions in their own time. We also ask them to provide three instance examples of leadership potential that they've shown in different. Excuse me, sorry.
You're all right, keep going.
I'm just checking to clarify. So basically, we ask them to show three examples of leadership experience that they have and three examples of volunteer or service experience that they have too, in addition to the application questions. So they can do this in their own time. Once they've completed this document, they'll then go back onto our website and complete an online Google form, which allows them to then input their information around who they are, what course they're studying, their eligibility criteria. We also get them to upload that document there, and it allows us to kind of check the applications much, much quicker and allow for, you know, the higher volume of participants that we want to take on as part of the program, and the higher amount of applications we're going to receive this year. So it's a lot more straightforward than it would have been in previous years, and allowing it to be much more accessible to students who are applying.
Now, so you get all your applications in and you're going to review them, and hopefully you're going to get a lot, let's face it, all the way around Ireland, north and south. Mm-hmm. So how do you select? Is there going to be interviews? What's the process then?
Yeah. So after we've selected, we get a high number of applicants each year, and we take roughly a quarter of the applicants for interview. The interview consists of a panel interview. So each student will be invited to an online Zoom invite for an interview, and we'll review and assess the interview, and afterwards we'll outline who our class members are and offer them a space in our class, and also then provide feedback for both the people who didn't make it to interview stage and those who made it to interview stage. At every step of the process, there's going to be kind of detailed feedback for each applicant, which is really, really beneficial to have. You know, most people who apply for the program, it may take them once, twice. A girl in my class, it took her four times to apply for the program. So what I would say is, do not get disheartened. You know, applying again shows resilience. And I already know this year that there's some people who this is their second or third time applying. So hopefully this year we'll be able to offer much, much more places than we had previously done in years past. So there's a bigger chance than ever before to get on our program this year.
Well, we're big fans of the programme here in DCU Career Service, and we every year students come to our quick query clinic and get their applications reviewed before submitting. So DCU students, you know how to do it. Log on to mycareer.dcu.ie and book in some time with your careers consultant via the quick query clinic and do a good decent draft up of those questions. And we'll help you work through some of the more stickier ones that you're having a little bit of trouble with. So don't forget us.
I can't stress it enough how important the career services are for reviewing applications of students. And so often I talk to students once they've joined the program, and they always come back and say that's the best piece of advice they've gotten, is to go to your career guidance staff and ask them to review it. It's great that it's now been able to be done online too, to allow more students to do it than ever before, which is fantastic.
Yeah, no, it's brilliant. So don't forget, and don't do it last minute. Try and do it a little bit more in advance so we have time to help you as well, you know, because it's not that we're doing the application for anybody, but we kind of maybe ask some probing questions and get the best out of the students and kind of, you know, tap into their innate ability and just help them to communicate that more on paper, because we can't communicate what's not in a student. We only can help the student communicate what's in them. Yeah. So that's what our focus is. So I think have we covered everything, Caoimhe? Is there anything you want to add that maybe you felt, oh, I hope she asks me that?
Yeah, I think my biggest thing is around just like quick tips on the application.
Oh, brilliant. Yes. Give me the top tips. Brilliant.
Yeah. So the biggest thing is answer all parts of the question. You know, you can't be, in the same way in an exam, you can't be marked on what you don't put down. So please fill out every aspect of the question. You know, give yourself enough time, as Siobhan mentioned, you know, don't leave it last minute. I know it's so tempting, but please, please don't, for your own mental health. Give yourself a few days. You know, a big thing is please pick your examples carefully. You know, we don't necessarily want generic answers or things you think we want to hear. Mm-hmm. You know, if you do not have any interest in US politics or Northern Ireland politics, do not write us an answer about that. If that is not something, we can fluff that out straight away and realize that, you know, you don't have an interest in it. So really reflect on your experiences. What I would say is write down 3 examples you could give for each question. And looking at those examples, pick the one that you think stands out and really demonstrates who you are. It's not like a normal application form. It's okay to write down times you failed, you know, times you've really learned from experience. And what we really want to know is, how have you learned from every experience you've had? How has it made you the person you are today? And how has that driven you forward and given you this ambition and drive to be a part of this program and shown your leadership potential? So, you know, don't be afraid to talk about your weaknesses or failures. Like, speak to your experience. You know, an example may seem quite trivial. It could be that you worked in a shop and you dealt with a difficult customer, and you may not feel that's good enough to get on the class. However, if the example is something that you really learned a lot from, the interaction you had with that customer, how that customer made you feel, how you approached other people with that mindset, you know, that's what we want to hear about. Like, the real things that make you who you are and the real examples of where you've learned and really reflected on the situations you've been exposed to. So just remember, like, the key themes around our leadership potential, a commitment to service and dealing with difference. If you think, you know, there's a part of you that says, I'm not ready this year, or I don't think, you know, they'd want me, you're the person who's ruling yourself out of it. We really, really want to hear from you. And we want to hear from those people who may not have the faith in themselves now, but through this program, you are going to feel so much more confident in your abilities and you'll be helped all along the way. People come to the program with many different intentions. Some look to, you know, get an understanding of where they want to go in their career next. Others maybe want to explore different opportunities. Some people come to the program because they want to improve their public speaking. They want to improve how they communicate with other people. They may be an introvert and want to become a bit more extrovert and learn the skills to enable them to do that. We cater for so, so many things, and it's all about you. So what I would say is, if you're half thinking about it, go for it.
Half thinking is more than enough. And if you're motivated to download that application form, challenge yourself around those questions, come to the drop-in clinic, put in a really good application, the best that you can do, and just let it go after that. And that's all I think anybody can expect of themselves. And but even if you don't get on the program, or even if you don't decide to apply this year, maybe have a look at about what you could do over the next 12 months, then so you will be in a better position, either, you know, emotionally to do it, financially to do it, interest wise to do it. So it mightn't be the best time in the world for you to do it this summer, but you still want to do it. So maybe kind of say to yourself, well, if I was to make it in 12 months time, make this application, what do I want to put down on that application in 12 months time? And use the 12 months to kind of say, right, this is the content I want to be able to write down, and I'm going to go off and do it.
Yeah, 100%. Like, so many people have always told me that they saw me at a stand in their first year, and at their second year was the time they approached me because they had done X, Y, and Z.
Yeah.
So please do that. And also, what I would say is around of other ways to get involved in our organization. One of the best things that's happened since 2018, when I joined the organization, was we launched the WIP forums. And these are discussions that allow people from, once again, a wide variety of backgrounds to come together, in our design thinking sessions to develop innovative solutions to policy challenges that are facing our island. So many of our WIP Forum participants who join our network become exposed to the programme and are now applying for the WIP programme. So if you don't think the WIP programme necessarily is for you, why not try one of our WIP Forums that are going to be taking place in March, April, August and in September too. That might be a way for you to see if the work we do is something that maybe interests you, to meet an interesting group of people, and maybe 2022 is the year that you apply.
Brilliant. Listen, thank you so much for today. I think I've learned a little bit more about the WIP programme. As I said, we have been huge fans of the programme for a long number of years in DCU and particularly in DCU Career Service. So thank you so much.
Thanks so much, Yvonne, and to the team for having me today.